This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. 4 years ago, Governor Rick Snyder signed legislation that repealed Michigan's law requiring motorcyclists to wear a helmet. Reporter Ted Roloffs wrote about what the changes meant in the state for Bridge. He'll join us later to discuss his article called Live Free and Die, Michigan's Motorcycle Helmet Law 4 years Later. But first, Kalamazoo Strong has come to mean a community remaining resilient in the face of tragedy. That originated with the February shooting in Kalamazoo that left 6 people dead and 2 others seriously injured. Kalamazoo Strong is also the name of a nonprofit organization that launched in response to those shootings. They're now turning their focus to another tragedy, the crash that killed 5 bicyclists and injured 4 others north of Kalamazoo last week. Rachel Kaiser is Business and Finance Director for Kalamazoo Strong. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Give us a little more background on Kalamazoo Strong.
Well, like you said, the launch of this organization came out of the February shootings, and it was kind of our response to how the community responded. People wanted to rally together. They wanted to do something. And so in response to that, we formed a nonprofit to give people a place to go to do something in crisis situations like this that don't really fall into an everyday tragedy that a lot of nonprofits deal with.
Were you then kind of, I guess, taken aback by the idea that you would have another situation which was a tragedy, people killed, people injured, on the scale of what we had with the bicycle incident?
Yes, I was extremely shocked, I think, along with the rest of the community, that we would have to mobilize a crisis response again, especially since we haven't fully healed from the February shooting. We've been hit hard in our community.
So specifically, what is Kalamazoo Strong doing in response to the bicyclist crash?
Well, we have set up a crisis fund, which we've been collecting donations online, and donations have come in from around the world. We've collected over $20,000 that will be dispersed to the victim's next of kin. We've also are in the process of finishing planning a memorial ride on June 26th with the Kalamazoo Bike Club. So their Cal Tour will be the memorial ride. That information is on their website. It's been on our Facebook. My part in that, because I'm not a cyclist, so I'm letting the professionals handle that part of it. And Toni Daniels is a board member of ours, and she's big in the cycling community as well. So she's kind of taking the lead on that. What my job is I'm rallying bicycle groups from across the world to ride with us on that same day. So we have bicycle groups in Ireland and Colorado, New Jersey, Texas, Ohio that have all agreed to do their own little group ride on that day in honor of our victims in Kalamazoo. And it'll be on social media as our platform for that. And it's really humbling to see the cycling community come together, not just in Michigan, not just in the United States, across the world.
So they're going to hold their own events in their own towns, their own nations, and raise money for these families affected in Kalamazoo?
Well, they're not necessarily fundraisers.
Okay.
It's just a ride in solidarity to show the way that the community comes together. And that's really where Kalamazoo Strong Organization comes in, is yes, bad things happen. Yes, there's, you know, certain ways that we need to deal with crisis and tragedies and, you know, the legal part of it. But on the other side of it, that I really want to push to get out there is the love and support that comes out of it, that we don't let the tragedies define us. The victims don't let it define them. We are defined by how our community reacts to it. And Kalamazoo has reacted with love and kindness and support to both of these tragedies. And we are also seeing that worldwide, that they're coming with us in love and support.
You mentioned money being donated to next of kin of the people who were killed. Could money also go to the families of those who were injured, who remain hospitalized?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, all 9 victims. It'll be dispersed equally amongst all 9. I'm sorry. Yes.
So let's go back a little bit and talk about what you just mentioned there about the response in Kalamazoo. Is the sense you get running this group that people want to help when they hear about something as awful as either the February shooting or the crash in June involving the bicyclists?
Yes. In our community especially, people want to help. We were having donations and words of encouragement sent to us before victims' names were even released. The community didn't care who got hurt. They knew somebody in our community got hurt, and they wanted to help. It didn't matter. So that is extremely uplifting to me.
Are there plans for other events? Might you, you know, look down the road and see if there's other ways to help these families in particular?
Yeah, that'll kind of come as we work a little bit more closely with the families, like we did with the shooting victims in February with Tyler Smith's family. We're working on a scholarship with them. So that will be an ongoing thing. And something like that might come out of this tragedy as well, depending on what the victims and their families want.
But you might also assess that the families themselves need more right now at this time.
Yes. And I'm sure, especially with all of the medical care and other things, that things might come on down the road as well.
Do you also get the sense from people who donate that they're a little shell-shocked in Kalamazoo, that they have these two big events happen within just a few months of each other? And maybe that also leads to some of the rallying and some people feeling that they need to do something.
Yeah, I think that has a big part of it is helping and reaching out as one way for our community to feel connected to each other when we have been hit so hard. And like I said, we still haven't healed from the shootings, and to have to face something again is very difficult and hard. And I think we're all leaning on each other. And I think we do that by doing even just small events, big events, just writing. We've had cards, you know, sent in just with words of kindness. So people are just doing anything to feel connected to the community.
Now, you mentioned the Tyler Smith Scholarship. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So we are working with Mattawan Education Foundation and Tyler Smith's family. We put together a scholarship. We're working with them to get the parameters around the scholarship to make it really Tyler Smith. And he, you know, loved soccer. And so we're getting some of those aspects to it. But that'll be available to Mattawan students in honor of him. And that will be an ongoing thing, not just a 1 year.
And are there other ongoing efforts still related to the February shooting that your group is continuing to do?
Well, we have our Growlers game. We've partnered with the Growlers prior to this new tragedy to do a fundraising and a community event to honor those lost and those hurt. We are presenting Tiana with a check.
Tiana Carruthers. Who was wounded, the first person wounded in that series of shootings.
Yes, yeah. And honor some other people in our community. And we've now had to kind of put in, you know, an aspect of the newest tragedy to that, too. But that was originally planned for to be a February event fundraiser.
So is the Growlers game then going to raise money for both of these?
Yes. Things? Yep. So we will have a silent auction at the Growlers game. The proceeds from the silent auction specifically will go into the crisis fund for the cyclists.
And which date is that again?
That is June 24th.
What is the 2020 fund?
The 220 fund is...
Oh, 220.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. 220.
You're
right.
That's
220
okay.
fund, right.
That is a fund that is set up for the victims and their families of the February 20th shooting. It's an ongoing fund. As things come up down the road that they might need help with, they can reach out to us, and we have that money set aside to help them, again, with medical costs. We don't all know the full impact when something like that happens. And so we just are keeping money set aside for, you know, a year or two down the road, something might come up that, you know, we're not aware of. So we are keeping a fund up for that.
Okay. There's some other programs I saw listed on your website. Let me ask you about those. Crisis Closet.
Yes, our Crisis Closet is a closet full of clothing and shoes and some home goods, and it's set up to help people in the community that come across such things as apartment fires, where you have several families displaced, and home fires where you're losing everything. We also partnered with some of the school districts to work with them to get winter coats to students if need be, and that is, again, an ongoing program.
Is it donated items for the most part?
Yep, it's all donated items that have been donated to us from community members and outreach programs. We also couple with Open Doors. We've had a lot of professional attire donated, and so we work with Open Doors to get professional attire to their residents to help with their interviews and that kind of thing.
Job interviews. So someone would have a decent set of clothes to wear if they had a job interview.
Correct.
They can show up and look professional.
Correct. Yep.
Then there's Career Ready.
Career Ready is, again, that program with the Open Doors. So what we're working with on them is having our volunteers go in and help with mock interviews, resume building, the crisis closet portion of that with bringing in some business suits and professional attire to help the Open Door residents get gainful employment.
And Hero Talk.
Hero Talk is still in the works. That is a program for first responders. I think sometimes in these crisis situations, we focus a lot on the community and the victims and their families. There's another side to that, and it's these first responders that, you know, that show up and are in the trenches when these things happen. And so the Hero Talks is set up with a group of volunteer counselors to just give them a place to go and talk confidentially about, you know, things on the job that might, you know, hit them a little harder, such as these tragedies.
Yeah, things they've seen that the rest of us can only imagine and try not to think about.
Exactly,
too much.
Yeah.
Did anyone in particular say to you, hey, this is something that a first responder needs? Was it, I guess I'm just wondering, as you say it, it makes perfect sense, but I don't know that everyone thinks in their day-to-day life, hey, you know, first responders could really use a place to just sit and talk.
Yeah, we had it was a retired police officer from Kalamazoo that actually brought that to our attention, who now, he also volunteers with MCOPS. And
MCOPS?
It's another nonprofit with the Michigan Police Departments.
Okay.
And in conversations that he had with us, that came out that he said that's a real place that's lacking. And, you know, so if we could create a program, that would be great. So we're working on creating that and getting that off the ground. So
all of us are hoping, of course, that Kalamazoo does not have anything else like a mass shooting or a horrible accident that involves multiple people being killed. Let's hope that we've had our fill for quite a long time. And assuming that's the case, what are you hoping Kalamazoo Strong will be able to do going into the future, long term?
We'll continue to do our scholarships and our crisis closet. We'll continue to put up little programs and partner with other nonprofits to fill in their gaps where they're needed. Kalamazoo Strong Organization we don't need a big crisis to help. We're here to help with the small things too that happen. If a single individual gets into, you know, like a car accident and it leads to other issues down the road with, you know, job loss or something, we're here for that reason too. So it doesn't have to be big catastrophic events. We're here to help even, you know, with the day-to-day struggles.
Do the big catastrophic events, though, sort of mobilize us a little bit? And I guess I'm wondering, you know, can that lead to maybe solving some of those smaller problems as well?
Yeah, we hope so. But again, we are a small, small organization full of just volunteers. So we hope to be able to mobilize some further actions with this, maybe on a little bit bigger scale. But I'll need a little bit more help when that happens.
Rachel, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Rachel Kaiser is Business and Finance Director of Kalamazoo Strong. More information about the nonprofit organization, including how you can make a donation, can be found at WMUK.org.